Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. And then, verse 12, let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, among other things. And I'm going to instruct in righteousness tonight and preach some doctrine from Psalm 96. I want you to notice here when the psalmist writes, he said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. There is a lot of singing going on today that is plain trash. There is a lot of noise going on that has a label, a song, which is nothing but a heathen beat, and it only does make your flesh tremble. Your lower passions wake up, and before that whole thing is over, you're ready to drink blood out of a human skull and sell your soul to the devil. We have that all around us today. The people say, well, we just have a new album out, and they call them the Rolling Pebbles and the Rolling Stones and the Falling This and the Jumping This and the Running Something Else. Let me say something. This is not the new song I'm talking about. These are the old songs from Satan. These songs were concocted way down in the dark region of the countries without God, where they hunt heads, where they did hunt heads, and still do if you watch it, and where they go, my ancestors did. The Holland people were none better than the Vikings, and the Swedes and the Norsemen, they killed, and they took the skull of the enemy and cut the top off and filled it with their home brew and drank it up and were ready for another fight. Oh, yeah, you ancestors were not much better. Hallelujah. You may think so, but You see, a lot of people think that some of those people in the schools today, they tell us that our ancestors, they swung from the trees, you see. Well, they did, maybe, but not by the tail, like they said. They swung by the neck. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of our ancestors did swing from the necks. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about this, that the song that we hear today is not new at all. It's not new at all. He's been as old as the devil. He's been as old as Satan. Where we hear today nothing but to beat. And there is a world of difference between a rhythm and a beat. There is a lot of difference. The rhythm, he said, well, it had to do with healing. He just wait, hush, you get there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The rhythm is something that God put in a man. Rhythm, harmony, togetherness, accord. This is what God brought in us. But the bang, bang, dee, little boom, boom, a flashing light, it gets you cuckoo.
Yeah.
Your mind flips. If you have any less, it's gone. You turn bananas. You're antisocial.
Right.
You can't be taught anything wrong or right because you don't believe there's anything such a thing as right.
Uh-huh.
Everything is relevant as far as you are concerned. And you sit there mowing and looks like the old cobra in the basket by the Hindu fluter. And you sit there going around like this and think you have a bad, you have a good time. Now everybody is doing his thing. No, people. This is the satanic beat of today. It makes us ready for satanic oppression. It makes us ready for satanic possession. Now let me say this, a Holy Ghost filled person, Holy Ghost filled person can never be possessed with the devil. That's the antidote. As long as you stay filled up with God, you can never be filled up with the devil. But, a lot of folks are not completely filled up and the devil fills the gap. And they have oppressions and obsessions and so forth. And even powers that don't even know what they don't even know what they are. And they become moody. They become downhearted. And they become negative in their attitudes toward the society, toward authority, toward the church, toward truth, toward Jesus, God, the pastor, the minister. Everything is negative in their mind. And you can read it from their downcast eyes. Hallelujah. You go today and go in tonight. Maybe your young people to go to, let's say, what you got? Sambos, bambos around here? What's another joint? You go there and you watch those kids listen to those jukeboxes. Their eyes are all twisted. Their minds are all gone. And they're all sitting there waiting to get back in the car and do their thing. Let's face it, and those musical things they've got there, they just get you ready for such an act. There is today such a filth, so open filth, that we never had in our history of humankind, except Noah's days. And the Bible says when Jesus comes back, it will be like the days of Noah, where there was evil exceedingly, Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality, lesbianism, and perversion in sex, that whole thing, it was open then and is even more open now. And dear people, we have such an awful thing that even in United Pentecostal churches or Oneness Jesus Name churches, that's for them all in, they have this God-forsaken, devil-oriented music on the pulpits today and try to sell you their rotten, dirty devil records. Now, do you get quiet right now? You better hear it. There are a lot of people under the guise of Pentecost. They don't have an inch of God in them. All they do is trying to make money out of their rotten, dirty beats. And we have to be on guard of that. For when we don't have the power of God, we supplant and we take something else that's less of God, and we go on ahead that awful thing in our churches. And then we have that beat coming in. The beat. I've been in California, preached a lot of things there, and I've seen some things there. Well, you can go to Texas, see the same thing. And maybe here Arkansas has it, I don't know. But they have it, and they become, under the beat, there becomes a spirit over the people, and before you know, the real holiness is laughed at. The real sacredness of the service is gone, and healing is no more there, for they have no more power over satanic influences. And there is our problem, people. Too many young people, and forgive me the expression, they sank it, the second-hand Pentecostals. That is not the reflection upon them. But we older people have forgotten how we ought to act in their faces so they could know how we do it, but they have to now have only hearsay from years gone by, but we brag about the brush harvest. Why don't they see it today? A lot of young people, they are Pentecost in spite of what they see. We older people, I'm in the 50s too, so I'm not that young. But we have oftentimes, we brag about the olden days and say the olden days. Yeah, but why don't we have it now? That way our younger people, the younger ones, don't have to grow up by hearsay. They can see it right before their pretty eyes. And it's time that we recuperate and recover, if we have lost it, that we recover that which we lost down the ages, and the damnable beast will now bring it. Sing unto the Lord a new song. But you see, there is something about singing that brings an expectation. If you read there in Psalm 137, let me read something there. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing this Lord's song in a strange land? And that is the reason why we have less joyful singing in the churches today, people. So many of us are not living in Zion no more. We have been taken captive, and we are on the rivers of Babylon. There we are, far removed from original Pentecost. And there, those that brought us there expect us to be jubilant, like we were under the Nazis for 5 years. And those Nazis, when they arrested me and others to go to their camps, by the grace of God, I escaped with 3 of my buddies. They never found us. I was hidden for 2 years, never found me. Corrie ten Boom tell you all about these things. Read her books. You know what I'm talking about. But they wanted us to sing on the way to our prison camp. We told them we had nothing to sing about. He said, I want you to sing. So we Dutch people began to sing the national anthem of Holland. They didn't like that. So they said, we want you to sing something happy. We told them to go and do some else. We were not going to sing because we lost our freedom. And people, there is a close relationship between your lack of joy and your freedom. When you cannot sing freely tonight, there is something missing in your freedom. There is something that has kept. That something that has got a hold of you that makes you be sad, tight, bound, or whatever it is. I'm trying to come to this point. If you are free, free from satanic powers, free from anything that's not of God, you can sing. You say, Brother Gilson, I don't have the Holy Ghost. Brother, before you will ever have the Holy Ghost, you must be free. You cannot get the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you're bound. Amen. You can never receive the genuine Holy Ghost when you're still bound by habits or by other things that I may come into later. These people here in Babylon, could not sing the songs of Zion because they were captive by the Babylonians and they were away from home. They had hung the harps on the willows and they said, how can we sing unto the Lord when we bound? Sister, brother, when you have not been able to sing much this night, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to help you by God's grace. I will. When you have not been able to praise the Lord, there's something somewhere that ought not to be there. You say, I'm hurting bad. That's a good reason. Hallelujah, baby. But that's not a reason to stay that way, Dan.
Right.
Then come out of your pew tonight and let God set you free. You say, but listen, I don't have the joy that I want. Exactly, that's what I'm after. Lack of joy means bondage. There is a demon power that's gripping you that makes you miserable and it makes you less joyful than you ought to be. Hallelujah. Say, praise the Lord. God is able to free you from that morose attitude. That kind of looking the cat in the tree. In other words, looking and kind of sitting down and kind of figuring this thing out. Young man and young woman, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't come out of that corner, you'll go home worse than you were because you avoided to be freed. You say, but I'll be embarrassed. You better be embarrassed for a few minutes now than you will be embarrassed when you stand before God's judgment bar and have to give an account. There is a need today for genuine singing. Genuine singing, and only a new creature can really sing new songs, sister. Hallelujah. We have a lot of beautiful songs, and they could. But I'm talking about there is something bubbling in your soul when you are free from Babylon. All these people there in Babylon could not possibly sing because they lost their homeland. They were away from that which they're supposed to have. How far away is Pentecost from us now? Oh, we have a song, a clap, clap, a little old thing. Yes, we have them all over the world, but where is Pentecost as it was supposed to be? Where is Pentecost as God intended us to have? I'll tell you something. Pentecost better come back to that point. Because the church that's going up in the rapture will not be less spiritual than the church that Paul left behind. So we better hurry up and get straightened out. God is not coming for a backslid church. I don't say you are. I understand this now. But I mean God is not coming for a church that has moved from Zion to Babylon. And there is a lot of Pentecost today that is in Babylon. But that's Babylonian Pentecost. And they sing happy because Babylon is their homeland. They're not the people from Zion. When we get near Babylon, we don't like it. We don't want it, and we like to get out of there. That's why we are not a member of this so-called neo-Pentecostalism that goes around today. We have no part and portion with this mess. Because that's Babylonian Pentecost that makes you talk in tongues and dip snuff in the same time. And you know I'm talking the truth. Hallelujah. It makes you talk. It makes you talk in tongues and sitting from morning to night watching television without prayer. Hello? All right. That makes you go and buy a six pack of beer while you're praising the Lord that one corner of the lot, you're sipping at the other, and they have martinis in their prayer rooms. I know. Huh? Father McCarthy talks in tongues and smokes a pipe. A book for $1.95. Go buy it and you'll be shocked. Hallelujah. Today people talk in tongues and have the rosary the same time and say, Hail Mary, full of grace. Hello? We say, I'm Pentecostal and be linking hands with Babylon, the World Council of Churches. Hello? We getting so sophisticated that we have no more people praying at the altar in the church, but we get to stick them in the corner, but nobody disturbs the nice little old ding-ding that goes on in front. Hello? I don't know your habits. I don't care. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what the truth is. When the sinners can no more pray and find God in front of the pulpit, there's something wrong with our services. Hallelujah. When the billiard and pool halls and the ping pong balls, machines, and whatever you have is in the basement of the church, there's something wrong with the church. When we spend more time running around eating rather than praying and fasting, something wrong with us. And Pentecost has gone to Babylon. We follow Babylonian attitudes and things, and then we expect to sing too. It won't work, people. We've got to stay out of Babylon to keep our joy. And if you in Babylon, come out from among them tonight and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Brother, you've been seeking the Lord for how long? And I don't know you, so I'm not picking on any. But you still have a habit of getting mad like a hornet when something's wrong with you. You blow your stack every time there is a possibility. And you want the Holy Ghost? No, brother, you got to come out of Babylon. You got to confess that sin that the God can cast a demon out of you. Then you may get the Holy Ghost. But if you're cheating in your business, you're cheating on your job, you're not doing the job you ought to be, you're always late and lazy, you've never been a father to your children, you never be a husband to your wife, you're always one of those that we always have to shake our heads on, and you still want the Holy Ghost. You want to sing while you're in Babylon? No, brother. You got to get your harp and get out of Babylon and come back to Zion. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to go back to Zion in order to hear God's and to see God smile upon us, folks. Too many people today, I got to have my certain magazines. I got to read that stuff. I know there's a few swear words in there, but I look over them. No, you didn't look over them. You read them. You read them. And before you know, your mind is contaminated. Your mind is on hunting and fishing and hunting and fishing and hunting and fishing. The big ones and the lunkers and all, that's fine. But if you want the Holy Ghost, get your mind freshened up. Get your mind out of Babylon. Get your mind out of those magazines. Get your mind out of something more holy than that. Clean up your life. Yeah, but the Lord is supposed to do this. Were you washed in Jesus' name? You're not baptized in Jesus' name. Don't come for the Holy Ghost. You need to follow the pattern. The pattern is repentance of your sins. Washing away your sins in the name of Jesus. That's the second step. And then you are clean and free. Supposed to be. And if you're not clean and free yet, I want you to come and before you ask for the Holy Ghost, ask God to forgive you and be set free from whatever bugs you. So many people today, they want the Holy Ghost and keep what they've got. They want to sing the songs of Zion while they fish in Babylon's rivers. We cannot do this, people. The Jews in those days could not sing because they were out of their homeland. They were torn out of the environment, and they were not happy because they were not what he's supposed to be. And sometimes, young people, there are things in this world and things that are thrust upon you in your youth that we never had in our days, perhaps. And there is a possibility that these things begin to bug you. They begin to bother you. And they stick in your mind and you can't seem to shake them loose. Yet you want to be loose of it because you know it's wrong to have it. These thoughts are there. These thoughts coming back. These thoughts are haunting you. And these thoughts are driving you crazy. And you know it's wrong. But what can you do about it? Let God set you free from this tonight. Hallelujah. And you go home rejoicing. And then you sing a new song. Hallelujah. But you see, when your mind, let's say you want to spend a Pentecostal, and your mind is on a boyfriend that's not that way, and you want that boy so bad, but he's not oneness, he's not Pentecostal, he's nothing. He's just not doing the job. He's not coming close. He may be baptized in Jesus' name, maybe, but he always don't seem to have any interest anymore, just in you. And you'll be always preoccupied with him and his mind and his propositions. No wonder you don't have joy. Your mind is in Babylon. You got to drop him. And tell him you can't have no more foolishness with him. No more running around with him till he prays through.
You oneness Pentecostal girls should not go out with non-Pentecostal boys. If you want these boys to be saved, let the boys take out the boys that are not saved. And let the unsaved girls be taken out by saved girls. Then you can win them over to your faith. But don't mix the sexes while you're not born again. Because you're going to have trouble. Going to have big trouble. Before you know, that beautiful little girl, that beautiful thing, that's really something to look at. It's just not safe, and before you know, your heart is linked there, and you have an awful time shaking loose, and Pastor Rutledge can talk his head off and talk you blue in the face to tell you to drop her because she's not born again. You'll be in trouble. Before you know, you just walk away from God and marry that little girl anyhow, and before you know, you're somewhere out of the church, somewhere backslid, because what we have now, we have a sinner marrying a hypocrite. There's danger today. A lot of young people today cannot sing anymore the joyful songs of Zion because they have already made a trip to Babylon. Oh, people of God, let's not look down upon them. But you did the same thing, remember? Remember? I'm talking to you older brethren, may I dare say sisters. We have wrong thoughts in our mind. We have haunting thoughts in our mind that keep us from having the joy. You want the Holy Ghost, but he comes an unclean thought. A filthy thought, and before you know, you listen to that thought, and you're imagining it on your mind screen, and you see that dirty thought, and before you know, it becomes part and parcel of yours. You wake up with it, you go to bed with it, you dream about it, and before you know, you're in Babylon. What you need to have is someone to help you get free of that, so you can stand before God clean and free, and then you can sing the songs of Zion. The Bible says in Psalm 126, he said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathens, God has done something for them. The Lord had done great things for them. Oh, people of God, Pine Bluff ought to know that the Lord has done great things for you. But you cannot do it when you stay in Babylon. When you made up your mind not to raise your hand when God people ask you to do it. When you make up your mind not to do it. When you make up your mind not to come loose. When you make up your mind to hold on to what seems to be something you need. The crutches in your life. Whether that's cigarettes. Whether that's alcohol. Whether that's Playboy magazine. Whether it is Penthouse magazine. Whether it is something less filthy, something that maybe looks innocent, a sport magazine that's full of filth. Some are. Some I couldn't even read. Neither can you. And other things in our lives, maybe your job requires certain things from you that you can do because of God don't want you, but you have to do it to make a living. Now quit that job and find another one. Hallelujah. Oh, there are some other, many other things. That when you have to, in the schools maybe, you have to learn certain of those ungodly things in school, and they want you to learn this, you always must remember, Moses came out of the University of Egypt. He graduated from it. But when he came out, he still was a Hebrew.
Right.
He never lost sight of God. He never backslid just because he had an upbringing in Egypt. He never lost sight of God just because he graduated from college of Ramesses. No, sir. Moses came out of the colleges and the universities and out of the royal courts of Egypt's Pharaoh, just the Hebrew like he came in. He never lost sight of God. He never lost his conviction. He never backslid. He was still the same. And so can you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't tell me you have to backslide just because you have to make a living. You don't have to. If you're living, if your type of environment drives you away from God, then for God's sake, quit the job, brother. You have to go to the grocery stores and handle beer and handle wine and handle cigarettes. The Bible said, touch not the unclean thing. If I don't smoke, you give it to the other one. I know, and brother, that's the secret of some people not having the victory. Because they don't understand. They violate God's will. There are jobs that you can keep that doesn't have to cause you from touching unclean things. Hallelujah. It's getting pretty quiet around here. Maybe some of you folks are guilty of this. That's the reason I'm here. Hallelujah.
I want you to know Pentecostal people have no more the guts that they used to have. You cannot handle dirt. You cannot do it. If you do it, you might as well use it yourself. If I don't drink beer, why should I handle it and make money off? If I don't smoke, why should I handle it and make money off it? When I don't use any other thing, why should I make money off it? Now pay your tithes to the preacher to shut him up. God help me. Hallelujah. Pentecost has to have convictions. Even though it has to quit your job for many years. Stand up and show that you got something more than just an open hand for a paycheck. Pentecost is in Babylon. Because we don't hear no more people being rebuked for doing these things. Y'all afraid? You can't bless God with whiskey money. You can't bless God with cigarette ties. Don't give the price of a dog to the Lord. And don't give Him the wages of a harlot, He said. So often, Pentecost is losing out with God, and we wonder why. We wonder what happened to us. What do we do? Nothing sinful, open sin that we know of. But these little foxes, they'll spoil the vine, brother. They'll spoil the vine, sister. One day, I'll be honest, sister, I needed a little money and you don't know it. I want to start a work. The only kind of work I could do is sell stuff that my wife wouldn't put on her lips or on her face. There's a lot of money in that cosmetics, brother. Don't you kid yourself. But God convicted us not to touch the unclean thing. And so I cannot use it. She doesn't use it. We don't make money off it either. Do you? Hallelujah. I'm not here to make you feel happy and go over 20 minutes and heal everybody and cast the devil and go home. I'm here to do a job. Hallelujah, people of God. Don't be fooled. When you go to Babylon, you lose your song. You're losing your zip. You're losing your joy. How long has it been since you danced in the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you ran around to church in the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since God used you for the 9 gifts of the Spirit? Since, how long has it been, sister, since you gave a prophecy out of a tongue and interpretation? How long? And if you don't believe in these things, we're not Pentecostal no more. Yeah, we have a lot of funny stuff. Forget about funny stuff. I used to be a bank manager. I was the department head of the falsification and forgery department. I've every cotton pick and bill come to me that was no good. False 20s, false 5s, false 10s. Well, do you think when my paycheck came and I was worried about it? I just cashed my check and enjoyed it. There are some phony ones around, but don't you let them stop you from having the real thing. The devil knows that you're scared stiff of phony stuff, so he sends you a few. Then you throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you have nothing. That's why we have so less. I'm not accusing you. I'm telling you what I've seen in the world. Not preaching to you, I'm not preaching to you, not at you. Praise the Lord. If you need it, then you take it. Hallelujah. Swallow it. Don't choke on it. Bring it back up again and bite a little piece and take it a little more. Don't you spit it out. Hallelujah. Maybe the thing you need. Hallelujah. Now, we use vitamins. My wife bought a vitamin yesterday. It looks like an U-boat, they call that. One of the submarines. That thing got that big. I said, oh, honey, if he ever goes crossways in my canal, I'll just can't talk no more. That thing right there. Brothers, it's like one of them the German U-boats that is sunk in the harbor of Holland. I'll tell you, never get out of that thing. Them big ones. But she said, you have to just put a little around it and then swallow. You put something around it that's good. And then you swallow it and it works. And I've been swallowing it, brother. I haven't choked yet. But some of the people want to swallow the pill just like that. No, take the rest of it too. Don't take that one word. Take the whole message and wrap it around and swallow it. It'll be good to you. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to make you mad. I'll make you happy tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing a new song. Oh, but you cannot sing a song. He said, and then when we saw ourselves being free, our mouth was filled with laughter. Not with a grin,
but a snicker, but a laughter, but a holy ho, 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 hallelujah.
I don't mean Santa Claus either.
Yes.
Since how long has it been, brother, since you really laughed heartily for something clean and holy? Since how long has it been since you lay on the floor talking in tongues and smiling, your biggest smile on your face? How long has it been? Are you afraid to be sophisticated? Are you afraid your hair do get mixed up? Are you afraid that something else will embarrass you? God will never embarrass you. But come out of your shell. Go over the river of Babylon. Let's go home to Zion tonight. Let's sing the songs of Zion again. Hallelujah. Let's go where you belong, sisters.
Hallelujah.
I know some of your faces from the last time. You haven't changed a bit. You're still smiling. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Well, some of you folks haven't changed a bit either. You're still not smiling.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. For crying out loud, come out of that shell. Come out of that Babylon. Come out of there. Come out of there. Because God is going to call His people soon. Hallelujah. Now, if you cannot shout, and you sit there with a long face, and you have a face that's almost covering your necktie, I want you to know you are bound by Satan. You're bound by the devil, or you like it or not. That's the way it is. We've got to come out of there. You say, but I'm not the shouting kind. You ought to be when you're Holy Ghost filled. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. You're no more the old one, what you brought for. Yeah, but it's hereditary for me to be quiet. That's, you get rid of the hereditary things too. Let God take you free, sister. You may be the loud mouth of the family since you got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You go to Holland, they're all stiff and frozen, and they go to the church and sit down there and sing a couple of songs. Everybody sit there. Brother, well, when I came to Holland, they saw the loudest mouth they ever had. And I was the only one in the family that saved. And I'm the only one that got a big mouth there too. So, hallelujah. What is it? Because I came out of Babylon, Sister Rutledge. I came out of Babylon. I'm different than the rest of them. And thank God I never go back there. But you see, let me hurry up here. Oh boy. What we have to do is not only sing a new song, but we have to bless His name. Oh, how can you sing a song if you don't know His name? Oh, brother, I forgot your last name. As a minister, I want to address you to the last name. Rice, Brother Price. I don't like to call, here's his son-in-law. That's different. But we as ministers among ourselves, we don't call each other by the first name. I like respect for the minister. Whether the brother is 26 or 62, don't make a bit of difference to me. Hallelujah. Brother Price, we know when we begin to search for the name of God, there is going to be a great discovery, some people. They don't know how to praise Him because they don't know His name. Oh, not long ago, a man came to me and said, well, what do you folks make so much about the name for? I said, recite the Lord's Prayer to me. Well, he didn't do it. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. But he said, Our Father, you know. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I said, hold it here. Hallowed be thy name. Now, how can you hallow the name if you don't know what it is? How can you hallow somebody's name if you don't know His name? That's the name of the Father right there. The name of the Son we all know is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is HaMashiach. That's Hebrew, of course. Not that, says Hebrews. HaMashiach. HaMashiach. That's Hebrew. In Greek is Christos. In our language is Christ. Oh, hallelujah. If you know the name of Jesus, you can bless that name.
Sure.
Brother, you want the Holy Ghost. Have you been blessing that name lately? Or have you trouble along that line? Do you kind of say words that are not kind of a blessing to His name? Are you having a mouth or sister, whoever it is, that's kind of lost, loose and so, and you speak things that you're not supposed to say? Like you say words that are not quite blasphemous, but it's pretty close, it's second cousin to it. Watch these things, because that's the reason why we don't have victory. When we don't bless His name, we usually curse it. And there is a danger. In Pentecostal people, too many people get so Pentecostal that for everything they say, it's, Oh Lord, oh Jesus here. Wait a minute, folks. Wait, be careful now. Let us not get that familiar with that name that we forget it's a blessed name. We can be so familiar with that name of Jesus, we say anything.
He comes a little, oh, Jesus, and you mean some little kitten comes across the, watch it. You call a swearing when a sinner does it. Oh, let us be careful, not use that name in vain. We should use it only when there is a reason for that. Otherwise, we use that in vain. Now, I had people coming to me who were not living for God, but they want to make an impression on me. And he got up and said, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. No, sister, the Lord did tell them. But they want me to be impressed. And they use the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
You see that? You can say, well, the Lord give me a vision. And then we ought to all do this. Listen, hold it here. The Lord gives you a vision. He wants you to talk to your pastor first. When you got the vision, don't blabber it right in the church when you have a testimony service. I would want you to do this because before you know it, maybe not the thing for anybody else but you. And maybe it may not even be God. Something else. The Lord, you know, the devil has a bunch of slides too, you know. He likes to project them once in a while. And so be careful. When you don't know for sure, don't use that name. It'll be better off. Show forth. They're going to go on. Show forth His salvation. Brother, we'd like to talk about our salvation, don't we? Oh, we like to talk so much about our salvation. How we got saved. How we get out of that. And then we write the book out of our dirty past and sell it for $12. And everybody buy the book and tell you in gory details how we lived in sin. How about that today? How did you listen, folks? There are people today, they make a lot of money out of their dirty past and glorify the past. They were nothing else but two-bit folks. But he make you look like he was a second cousin to Al Capone. And he lets you read them books. And them books sell like hotcakes. And he's making money out of his sordid past. When my past was forgotten by God, I conveniently forgot too. And we should not try to make money out of our own thing. Because that's not the way God works. Bless the Lord and show forth His salvation. When we talk about salvation, let's not talk about what God did for us. I want you to more or less understand this, what I'm trying to say. Hope you understand this. That we don't brag about ourselves so much. That we don't bring ourselves in the foreground. That we say, well, I used to be the worst sinner in town. Oh, I was the worst sinner in town. And God did so big a work for me. I think I'm the best saints in the church now. See, that type of thing. Before you know, you talk about your salvation. But who gets the glory? You. There is a danger in all this. If you be proud, brother, sister, you want the Holy Ghost, and you have pride in you, you don't like to have anybody telling you a little few things. You don't like anybody to point the finger to you. You don't like your wife to set you straight once in a while, and you sit there watching the one guy. And you don't like anybody kind of measure you up and tell you exactly how small you are, and you don't like to hear that. Then there is a problem of pride there, and the best thing for you to do is get rid of it. Because he that abased himself shall be exalted. But he that exalts himself shall be abased. And tonight, I'm just talking to you like a brother. I feel that I want to say this. Let's show forth His salvation. Let's show it, people. If you got that salvation, those who have the Holy Ghost, you say, I want more of God. Now, why don't you show what you already got? Why don't you show what you already got? You say, well, I don't have much. Well, show what you got. Show it all. Hallelujah. Show your salvation. Go in the schools, in the campuses. Do they know that you'll be Pentecostal? Do they know you are oneness Pentecostal? Do they know you are apostolic oneness Pentecostal? Do they know you Jesus' name apostolic oneness Pentecostal? Do they know you are tongue-talking Jesus' name holy roller apostolic blood-washed Pentecostal? Do they know that? Do they know that on your job, brother? Does your boss know? Well, I just work there. That's just your trouble. You don't do your job. You don't just work there. You're there for a missionary before God. You're there to let your boss know, your buddies know, the one that gives you a ride in the morning. Let them know. We have people, I'm Pentecostal, but you're a weasel because anybody walks into your car and smokes a cigarette, you don't stop him. Oh no, you don't stop him. You are scared stiff to lose your ride. And God is sick or tired of that kind of attitude. God don't want that no more. God wants you to have guts. That I walk in your home, I see a sign, no smoking. I walk into your car, I see a sign, no smoking. And if you have somebody riding with you, you make up his mind for him. You either he go out with it or he leaves that thing out. Don't you sacrifice your confession just for a moment of ease or a few dollars or whatever it is. People of God, show you salvation. Not long ago, I had a man, he has an office on his own. He said, I come home choking. I'm so filthy. I said, I have to smell that old secondhand smoke all day. I said, you don't have to. You put a sign up there, thank you for not smoking. And if you don't do it, you tell him not to. And you lose customers, God give you a better one back. Why don't we have more courage? Show your salvation. Show your salvation. And there is a thing going on in school. Don't you dress like the school kids that are not saved. Don't you put that on you, holy body. Don't you wear something that belongs to a man when you're a woman. Don't do that. Because everybody does it, you don't. You show forth your salvation. You show you got something more than they've got. I don't want to be a show-off. I don't say show-off your salvation. Your boss wants you to be a little bit more uppity-up. You say, boss, I'm going to work for you, and I'm not wearing pantsuits. The rest of the world does it. You can't wear them. No, you can't, sister. It doesn't look good on you. I mean, you could see the rest of you, you look like a Belgian plow horse to start with. It doesn't even look nice. You don't even look nice. You don't even look ladylike. No, you're not at all. It's stupid. It's very stupid to think you are. You're in. No, you're way out. God help us. Show forth our salvation. And sometimes when we lower the standard of our holiness in outward appearance, we're losing the joy. We're losing the testimonies. We don't hear the ringing hallelujahs no more. What happened? Well, we crossed the rivers. We're back in Babylon. And I tried to help you tonight, people. Oh, yes, that's a Saturday night special tonight. Hallelujah. That's why they want to ban them. And hallelujah. God bless them. Them specials will not be banned. Amen. And there's not. And listen, this thing is not concealed either, brother. It's coming out way in the open. Hallelujah. We need to make sure that when we have salvation, show it. You sisters that have an unsaved husband, are you really showing your salvation? Are you really showing forth your salvation? I do you treat him like a black widow spider. Let me say something. It's strange, huh? Well, I had men that couldn't get the Holy Ghost because they're so-called Holy Ghost-filled women. They treat them like dirty dogs. The kids never gave glory to Papa. They never gave honor and respect to the Father. Well, he's not saved. That had nothing to do with it. When he's a father, he's a papa. And unless he crosses the Bible, you obey and honor your dad. That's why God, some man can never get the Holy Ghost because he doesn't get the honor due to his fatherhood in his home. And some of our Pentecostal women are guilty of that. They treat them less than a man. Listen, you may have the Holy Ghost, sister, but he's still your boss in your home. Don't you browbeat him. Don't you talk him down, because you can have testimony in church, but your testimony will be a testimony when I hear it. Oh, yes, that's right there. Yeah, some of you sinner man better listen, because you drive your wife bananas sometimes with your attitudes. It's not always easy to be Holy Ghost filled when you give her a cantankerous attitude. But still, I'm talking to the sisters right now. Make sure you show forth your salvation. Then you're going to see what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Not only going to show forth. Well, let me read it. It says here, folks. Let me get to you. I like to read this a moment here. Let me fight this thing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still in the Bible, folks. I lost my page, but not my message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It said, show forth his salvation from day to day. Oh, yeah. You show it on Sunday morning, don't you? You show it on Wednesday night. But how about from day to day? Show forth your salvation at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's pretty hard to be salvation then, but it ought to be then showing then. 10 o'clock at night. 10:30. 10:30 at night, when you had a hard day, and everything seems to go wrong, and then all of a sudden somebody in your family asks something special from you. How do you react? How do you remember that you ought to show forth your salvation? Right there. You come home tired from work. You imagine you have made up your mind you're not going to do a blessed thing that night, period. Here comes your mother. Honey, I haven't been able to do the dishes. Now, can you show forth your salvation right there? Can you show forth that you are saved right there? I'm not talking about the man now. I'm talking about the girls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it is so different today. That's so easy. We talk about our salvation. We show off our salvation. But do we show forth our salvation day by day? Day by day. Day by day. Oh, hallelujah. Show forth His salvation. Not only on weekends. And then declare what? Declare what? His glory among the heathen. Tell the people. How much did you witness this week? How much did you witness this week, sisters? Brothers? To how many people did you talk about Jesus this week? This bench, this whole row. How many people did you contact this weekend and talk about Jesus? Not your brother and sister and the Lord, the stranger heathen. How many heathens hear the name of Jesus because of you this week, sister, brother? We can talk a lot here. We hear now, us four, close the door, bless us forevermore, no more. Yeah, but how about, folks, how many heathens heard the name of Jesus this week because of you, sir? Brother? Sister? How many heathens heard the name of Jesus? How many heathens in the schools and campuses and places did hear the name of Jesus because of you? How many could you expect to come to church because of your attitudes? How many would you win with Jesus if you keep continuing the way you do? How many would you win for Jesus at the way you react to the school system and things and going on where you're at? How many would you win for Jesus the way you've been doing now? How many? I have won already. Does that call for a change of attitude? If it is, you better do it. Folks, show forth your salvation and declare His glory among the heathen. And then, I want you to notice something. Declare His glory among the heathen. And His wonders, where? His wonders among all people. Here, testify about your healing. In your churches. There were a couple of testimonies and that were very beautiful. But I believe there ought to have been a lot more. There was a lack of testimony. I'm not going to, I'm not scolding you. Just giving you some idea now. Have we really showed the wonders to the people? If God healed you of a headache, did you get up and say so? Well, it's just a headache. To God, it's the same thing as a cancer. Don't make any more difference to God. Sure, we like to talk about our cancerous healing. That's beautiful. But when you have a toothache and it goes away because you believe God, as used to say, speak up. Somebody else may have a toothache and don't think God will do that. He doesn't think God is not worried about that little old pain. He does. You have maybe something else in your body, a pain here and a pain there. You wonder, will God worry about it? Yes, He does. Come to Him in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. God will heal anything. You better go to Him. I have a bad breath. So I take all the kind of stuff for to wash my mouth, but it's always there. Well, it's not your teeth. It's way down somewhere here. Something wrong there. So you want to be delivered of that. You ask God to heal you. Next time you confess that before God. Oh, you'd be surprised how much. And another thing. When you don't feel you have all your healing yet, don't wait till it happens. Get up there and tell the Lord and tell the people about your healing before you know it's going to happen. For the Bible says He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. You can't have the rest of your healing by testifying about what you already have received. Don't wait till everything happens. Talk about it while you're already getting it. Get up there and say, praise the Lord, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, I'm going to be healed. Praise the Lord, I'm going to be delivered. Praise the Lord, I'm going to be different. Praise the Lord, it's going to be different. You may not even be different at the moment, but praise the Lord and say it's going to happen. Declare His wonders among the people. Hallelujah. Declare the wonders among the people. And then, of course, there's so much more. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Strength and beauty, power and holiness, that's what it means. Because the beauty in the church is not your hairdo. Are your dress, are your shirt, are your shoes? It's the holiness. The Bible says, praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's the beauty of the church, is holiness. Not so much the color of your shirt. That may be an holiness, maybe, but that's certainly not holiness. My shirt is white. I like white because I'm a minister. I don't want to do anything with it. That's my conviction. I'll dress that way. I like it that way. I feel that's the way I should be. Okay, now let me say something. Holiness is not something you put on. Something that God gives you. Holiness is an attitude. Holiness is something that comes from the bottom of your heart. It comes as holiness is actually your relationship to God, which filters through you and makes it a relationship to your fellow man. That's holiness. A lot of folks, they say, well, it doesn't matter how I look on the outside. After all, it's in the inside. Yes? Well, let me say something. The Bible said, work out your own salvation. Now, if you have it in you, let it come out. Let me see it. Let me see a little of that salvation come in the way you do things now, didn't you? Remember? When you were in the world, you did a lot of things that were wrong. Right. Now, when you have salvation in you, let it come out of you. Show me some difference in your attitudes. Show me some difference in the way you well, even your dress. Yes, there is a difference. Oh, yes, there is. I've mentioned a few things already. But I'm not here to give you a dress code. Well, let me say something, folks. So many people, they have only a dress code. That's just dress code. Just like go to the store, you have a mannequins. Anytime they turn around, they dress differently. It's like a puppet. They're not the real themselves. They just show off. Folks, we don't wear to show off. We don't wear anything to show so much. That's not the point. What you see, the thing is, when you're really born again, your attitude toward your ways, the way you behave, the way you show, you are different. You see, you are different. You know how do you know how the world looks? You all go to the malls, go to the shopping centers and see. You know what the world is all about. You should never be caught in that after you're born again. You should never be caught like that, acting and doing this. We have something in us that makes us different. The beauty is holiness. And if holiness is a problem to you, and holiness is a burden to you, and holiness is a must for you, or just a law only, you don't understand the beauty of it. There is a beauty in it. There is such a beauty of being holy. Brother, there's such a beauty of being sweet smiling. And have you, brother, you let me not always talk about the women. Let me talk to man a minute. Man, if your haircut is nice, you show your collar. And you're one of them sideburns are not hanging over your chin. Yeah. And you kind of not. I'll tell you, everybody loves you for that. There's something clean about that person. Now, there's something attractive about a man that has taken care of himself that way. I say praise the Lord, sisters, brothers. Don't sit there and look like that. Oh, come on, hallelujah. This is all holiness. This is all Bible, hallelujah. You don't like this? I can't preach. But that's the way God tells me. Hallelujah. You ought to be that way. There ought to be a beauty in you. There ought to be something manly in you. That's why God don't want to look... God don't want the women to look like men. And God don't want the man to look like women. Your hair hangs all over the place. You think you're a man? Oh, my. Well, you know, that's exactly. Your pastor called you a sissy. And I say, amen. You're a floozy. All you need is a flower pants, son. Flower pants and a little dandelion in your hair. And you're really nice now. God help us that we show the holiness as beauty. Oh, no, people, you can go so legalistic in this thing that you have everything on the outside. And there is no inside holiness. There is no love for your brother. There is no compassion for the sinner. There is no respect for the pastor. There is no love for the people. There is no harmony among the brethren. There is no peace among the families. And you have all this, and you have a beautiful outward appearance. You have nothing but the church of Sardis. He said, you have a name that you are alive, and you are dead. Because that's not the point. But I want you to bring it out tonight. Holiness is something that God wants us to have inside. And then He said, give, bring, and come. I want to quit with that tonight for the time's sake. Give, bring, and come. If you really want to worship God, you give of yourself. You give of your time. You give of your means. You give. You become a giver. God loves the world so much that He gave. And then He said, bring. Hallelujah. Bring somebody. Do something more than come yourself. Go out and find somebody. Invite them to the services that come. Invite them to the Sunday night service. You have a good service coming up with the brother. Invite them to these services. Bring. Just hold a minute. Just hold a minute, sister. Just hold a minute. Sister, down. Yes, please. I'm sorry. Maybe I made a wrong impression. I'm not having sung yet. Just hold for a moment. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Bring yourself. Bring yourself. Bring yourself. Give of yourself. Bring yourself. Give yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. This is a reasonable service. Bring yourself tonight. Brothers and sisters, bring yourself. Now don't come just because we ask for it. That's not needed. If you have no need, don't come. But if you have a need, you come. And then the Bible says, last one he said this, is come. Don't let somebody be ahead of you. You come. Come unto me, all that are labored and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. For the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, he said. He cometh. Twice he said. God is coming soon, people. I don't know how soon, but it'll be soon. We better be ready. Are you still in Babylon tonight? Don't you think you should move? Don't you think you should come over to Zion again? Don't you think you should be delivered of that problem you have, brother? The secret problem that nobody knows but you? I don't want you to come and be embarrassed. Just whisper it in my ears. God and me is all to know. Sister, you have a private problem that you can't talk to me about. Talk to Sister Gerritsen. Tell her. She's a sister. She understands. Whatever I need to know, she'll tell me. Whatever I need to know. Folks, God is able to help you tonight. God is willing to set you free. God is willing to give you the Holy Ghost. But you got to be free. If you're not free, you need to be freed first. If you got some habits that bug you, let me help you first with those habits. Then God will set you free. Don't become a professional seeker. Come out from among them. Be a separate, say the Lord. But one day the Lord will come back. He'll be back soon. And the Bible says He will judge the whole world with righteousness. Then there will be righteousness and unrighteousness standing each other in the face. God will then judge the unrighteous world with His righteousness. But God will judge His own people with truth. Hallelujah. We are righteous. We believe that we so. But there is truth and error sometimes, misunderstandings. Tonight, I'm here to help you. If you have error about this thing, you think you have to have it, or you feel God wants you to have it, or you feel that sickness that you have is for the glory of God, forget it. No such thing. There's never been a sickness for the glory of God. Never was a sickness for the glory of God. The healing is, not the sickness. The healing is. The healing is for the glory of God. Sickness is never for the glory of God. Healing is. Healing from the sickness. That's for the glory of God. Because Satan is the originator of all this. He perverted this thing. God did not originate it. No, sir. He perverted this. I didn't preach a healing message tonight. Because I was more deeper than this, I feel, tonight. I want to get your spiritual life there. God wants to heal you. Because you must believe that your sickness is not in harmony with God. If you believe that your sickness is of God, don't come for healing. I don't want to rob you of the will of God. I don't want you to be without the will of God. If you feel that sickness is something you ought to have, and God wants you to have it, keep it. Keep it. But I don't think you should look at it that way. Because God wants us to be prosperous and in health as our soul prosper. Thank you, Jesus. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Tonight I'm asking you, can you say I'm free? Are you really free tonight? Are you really living in Zion? Now you can come and receive what you want, whatever it is. I may not be able to pray individually for all of you, that's for many maybe. But if you come to me and stand here, I go through the crowd and let the Lord do whatever He needs to do. Sister Gerritsen is going to help me. She'll be right there to talk to you and your sister guests, talk to the sisters if need be. Don't be scared. Don't be irreverent. But come, whatever you want. But remember, I may not know anything, but God knows it. Sing. Sing. Can you sing for the glory of God? Can you really say, Lord, I'm free and I want to love you? I'm not asking you to say, Lord, I'm bound and I want to stay bound. You come, Lord, I want to be set free. I want to learn how to sing that way. I want to learn how to be free from my pain. I want to learn how to be free from my oppressions. I want to learn how to be free from my agonies, free from my bad habits. I want to get rid of it. And I do my best. I obey the Lord. I talk to you like a brother. I give you some ideas about your private lives. Use it for the glory of God. I love you. I don't know any of your private lives, so I wasn't picking on you. But I just gave you some general ideas what that causes us to lose power with God. Is when we drop our standards of private lives, holiness in the attitudes of whatever we have. Let's keep what we've got and add to it. The Lord is going to help us. Praise the Lord. Would you stand up right now with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to sing with me. And sister, would you please play now? Thank you, sister, for being patient with me. Hallelujah. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Then I want a man, after all man, that want to be prayed for. I want them to stand on one side of the pulpit and the women on the other side of the pulpit. Don't mix and mingle the sexes. And I'm going to praise God. Don't kneel if you want me, unless you have a sin to confess. You have sin in your life. I want you to talk to God about this. But if you want to be set free or whatever you want to have done, I want you to come and stand. Just stand freely and relaxed and praise God while you're standing. Remember, I am not your healer. I'm just His boy. I'm just His messenger. I'm just telling you what He told me. And if you love me, then I want to say, do what I ask you. And you want to see God is going to move. Hallelujah. A different meeting? Yes, totally different. But that's what it is for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister G, we come a little nearer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to come for anything you want, physical or spiritual. I don't separate them tonight. We only have one night to do it in. Just come, man and women, separate. And stand and worship God. Don't stand up with your hands in your pocket. Nothing will happen to you. I promise. Nothing will happen to you. If you don't sing the glory of God, I promise. Honest, I promise right now, you will be sick when you go home. Yes, you will. But when you praise God and be obedient and surrender all, and share it with you tonight. Bring it down that. So we have, I want to be a man. There's no more manliness and crying and double voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this song. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. This side of the pulpit, this side of the pulpit, this side of the pulpit, sister, this side of the pulpit. I come to this side of the pulpit, sister, this side of the pulpit. He's the first one that's about where. The hour I need thee. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Come this way, brethren. This way, brethren. Call me. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Thank you, Jesus. Can you move these ladies the way? No more move. No more room for them, eh? Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Hold it, sister. Hold on a minute. Hold on. When I come to you, I will ask you what you need. When I come to you, I will ask you what you need is. Don't tell me, just pray for me. I won't, I'll pass you up. I need to know. They need to give me that much respect. Tell me what you need is. Don't say I'm sick, I know that. Tell me your details as much as you know yourself. You say, God heals, yes, I need to. Why? I like to put my prayers in a certain direction. If you had a blind eye, I don't have to ask God to give you hearing. You see what I mean? That general prayer won't do you no good. Not just a little pat on the back. I want to do right. I want to help you. It takes longer that way, but I do my best. Maybe I can't pray for all of them. I don't know. I do my best right now. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hand together and praise God and sing it again. I need it. Oh.